How do you spell God? You know, like, how do you spell ultimate reality? How do you spell the great mystery of all of life and faith and worship and beauty? The Bible, in the Hebrew scriptures, the most common word for God is El, like the article for Spanish. El, Aleph Lambda in Hebrew, E-L. This is the most common name in that part of the time, that part of the world. And the very beginning of our scripture begins with, in the beginning, Elohim, which is the plural of that form, El, God, meaning the God, suggesting that maybe it's creation and the universe and the beauty and life and grace and all of this is so grand that only the God of all gods could create this. Maybe it's a hint to the Trinity, God existing in community, El, how the Hebrew scriptures often spell God. In the New Testament, the word that we most often get for the word God is theos, just the general God, theta, epsilon, omicron, sigma. Thank you, sir. May I have another? How do you spell that which is beyond all knowledge and understanding? And in English, just three letters is what we give it: G-O-D. And it is these three letters that give us life. It is these three letters that call us to worship and to serve and to come together. And to be honest, there are many, maybe even in this room, if not many in our lives, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our families, in which these three letters are a source of pain. These three letters elicit doubt. These three letters divide. And we, it's good for us to acknowledge that as a community. And it's also good for us to acknowledge that throughout human history, great injustices, wars, enslavement, has all been offered to us on the basis of how to appropriately spell the word God. Or if not how to most appropriately spell it, at least who should be the one to spell it for us. Those three letters have a whole lot of power. This morning, I'd like for us to consider a spelling lesson. And I'd like for you to know that I'm embarrassed, but it has been true my entire life that I've always been a bad speller. I Google how to spell words that you would be ashamed to know. I think Google would just say, hey, Jake, it's there, there, and there. Just deal with it. All right. How do you spell God? There was a day in which some rock and roll bands in our country, in this modern world of ours, would, you could find a hidden message on a vinyl record if you played it backwards. Let's pause for just a moment and explain to some of our friends who don't know what a vinyl record is. Now, you may have an uncle who likes the Grateful Dead. There may be that lone kid at your school who has the shadow of a mustache. And he hangs out at Ralph's Records off 82nd and Quaker, a wonderful spot in our city. This is a format of music. Suggested that these rock and roll bands hid messages in these records. If you played them backwards, you could hear it. Did any of you play your Pink Floyd and Beatles records backwards? You see, the rumor, at least, was these rock and roll bands would hide sinister messages in the records if you played them backwards. I've listened to one lately. I heard it. I heard that ominous voice say, drink your Ovaltine. And it's true. Many bands have come out since and said there are hidden messages applied to our records, and you can hear them if played backwards. Many bands have even said, we had nothing to do with it. We didn't even know it was happening. The record companies and production companies hid those messages in their records and let the secret out. Why? To sell more records. To perpetuate a narrative of long hair, you can't tell me what to do. There are some words in the English language, not palindromes, but there are some words that if you spell them backwards, you get a new word. The word star, spelled backwards, character by character, is the word rats. Very good. The word live, spelled backwards, ironically, is the word evil. Raw, spelled backwards, is war. God, spelled backwards, is cat, because cats are evil and they're not to be trusted. And I pray for those of you. Sermon over, let us pray. No, God spelled backwards is dog. And what is the benefit of having a record that if you play it backwards, it says some strange message? What is the benefit of having a word that you could spell backwards that creates another word? What is the benefit of God being spelled backwards is dog? Very little. Very little. And the church in Laodicea and the church in Colossae in this area of Eastern Greece or Western modern day Turkey, they're having a conversation about how do we properly spell God. Visitors, missionaries, word has come to these cities and to these churches about Jesus the Christ. And so they receive a letter, and for the first two chapters, likely some of the highest Christology in all of the Bible, compared to John 1, this is the moment in which Jesus is seated and raised and above and beyond all others. For two chapters, this letter says, the way that you spell God is C-H-R-I-S-T. This is the force of God that is in all things, before all things, and for this we worship and we serve. And then there's a turn, a hard shift in chapter 3, which is where we are today. And during a debate about how to spell God, the text shifts and says, maybe if you're struggling with your spelling, let's talk about how we live. Verse 2 says, set your mind and your heart on the things that which are beautiful and honorable and things of Christ. Let our hearts and our minds be there. No longer do we live in the way that we once did. Put away sexual promiscuity. Put away greed, comma, idolatry. That greed is in fact that which is the opposite of God. I think the text at this moment is saying, the way that you spell God is not M-E. Your life is no longer about you. Rather, our lives are to look like Christ. Compassionate. Patient. Sacrificing. The text continues and it says, if we continue to live in greed, then the full wrath of God will be upon the disobedient. And that is a tough sentence. That disobedience receives the full wrath of God. Likely a sentence that did not bother the original hearers. The original Greek gods were thought to be angered very easily, and they were thought to be pleased in only extreme measures. But I confess to you that I struggle with that verse, that the disobedient will receive the full wrath of God. This sentence, like others in the Bible, I struggle with. And before we move forward together, and I hope to be able to offer some sort of peace with respect to this difficult moment. But before we move forward, I'd like to just make a very clear distinction. what happened in Ohio and what happened in El Paso and some of the tragedies in our lives, these moments in which evil seems to be breaking in and conquering over good, this is not the wrath of God. And I would suggest that God grieves over this violence and this injustice and this God's heart is broken and hopes for more and works for better. The tragedies that you've experienced in your life have nothing to do with the wrath of God. There is this difficulty in being alive, and it is a grand mystery. But the text here is talking about a different difficulty, that the disobedient, those who are greedy, will receive the full wrath of God. You see, these vinyl records were created to spin clockwise, right? And for those of you who are nerds or those of you who are boomers, you know that there is a sound that comes from a vinyl record that cannot be matched by our digital sounds that we have today. There is a warmth and a richness, right, to the record that creates this. It can't be compared. It's above all others. And it was designed to go clockwise. And when we force it to go another way, it ruins the needle and it ruins the quality of the record itself when played properly. You see, we were designed to live in a certain way. We were designed to live as Christ lived, the one whom we are created in that image. We were designed to live compassionate, patient, meek. And when we do not, there are natural and necessary consequences. When we are not in healthy relationship with one another in the way that Christ has modeled, that relationship breaks down. When we seek our own egos and seek our own preferences above all others, which is greed, community breaks down. When we do not share our resources as Christ has modeled, sharing all of his resources, community necessarily breaks down. If you act like a fool and your relationships fall apart, that is the wrath. And it has nothing to do with God or the dog. It has everything to do with not being the way that we were designed to live. You were designed to spend compassionate, patient, kind, meekness. And this is how the section ends. It says, clothe yourself with Christ. Clothe yourself in the way that you were designed to live. Even I have been watching the Tour de France. I said that right. As you may know, just ended last Sunday. I watched it during a Bible study time. As you may know, youngest man since World War II, guy from Colombia, won, incredible rider. He's on one of the best teams in the world, probably a helpful part to his victory. And as you may know, Lance Armstrong, the cycler of Texas who made us proud for a little while, when you're in the lead in the Tour de France, you wear the yellow jersey, right? It's iconic. It's incredible. And the theory is, well, you hear a lot of the people who follow this, and the commentators always say, is when one puts on the yellow jersey, you now ride with the strength of two men. Clothe yourself with Christ. Put on the strength of kindness, patience, compassion. Do you have a favorite t-shirt? I think a lot of you do, and it's black or red and it's got T's on it, you know? And this time of year, it's a great t-shirt to wear because like the team's still undefeated, you know, there is hope. And you put this shirt on Saturday mornings, and it's hard to have a bad day wearing that shirt, right? Do you have a favorite dress? My instinct is you have a favorite dress, and you didn't buy it. Your girlfriend gave it to you because she never wore it. And for whatever reason, it was meant to be on your body. You know what I'm saying? And you wear that simple favorite dress. You wear it to the job interview. You got the job. You wear it to every other wedding. And you might not admit this to us, but honestly, you thought, if I could sleep in this dress, I would. And when you put that yellow jersey on, that favorite t-shirt on, you put that favorite dress on, it does something to you inside and out. Clothe yourself with Christ. So good. In the very beginning, Adam and Eve were enjoying the garden with God. And as brokenness entered into the story, there came a point in which Adam and Eve needed to leave the garden. And God sends them forth into life and the faith and the journey in which we're all on now. And Scripture says that at this moment, God fashioned for them ore. You all know this Hebrew word, often translated as leather skins, leather clothes. Ore. And so that simple translation, Adam and Eve were in the garden naked. And as they move forward, God gives them clothes. It's a fine story. Ore can also just be simply more broadly translated as skin. We were created in the image of God, and as we're set forth into life, out of the garden, into this new space, this new journey, we are then and only then given skin. It is our follicles and our cells that reflect the image of God. There is nowhere that you cannot go in which God is not presenting the divine love, the divine grace through your skin. Wear Christ as you move forward. Message translation says, it's like your favorite garment. We are not sinners in the hands of an angry God. We are not sinners in the hands of a wrathful dog. All of that is irrelevant. We are sinners, yes, broken. We are in the hands of a loving God, good. Let's pray together. Give us the strength and the potential to live as you have designed for us to live. May we wear compassion. May we exude patience. May we sweat through the meekness in our t-shirts. May you be present in every cell. And when we do live in a way that is hurtful to self and to others, may we not blame you, O God. May we not play a blame game at all. May we be instead reminded of your grace, your grace, your grace. Lead us forward. Spin us in the right direction. And may all of this bring glory to your name, the name that is above and beyond and before all names, the name of Christ our Lord. It is in this name we pray. Amen.